Just be funny.
I only got like 20% funny left.
Oh my god, Doc Pop's running out of funny. We better record this podcast now.
Funny is it?
It's draining out of his head right now. I can see it leaking.
A funny thing
shirt.
Happened on the way to Oakland. But I can't tell you about it.
Oh, please. What if we leaked. Make you some nice carbonated water from?
I made you
the
carbonated
Professor
water.
Professor Robot's official.
Your carbonated water, you big
I
jerk.
I made you carbonated.
Your carbonated water.
And I could take it away. I was gonna say take you away, but I don't know where I'd take you. I live here. I don't want to go away from.
On the Autobahn.
Right next to the Danish store.
Oh.
From Daneland.
Herndy Sterndy Gurndy.
Yep.
This is the language of my people.
This is how we roll.
So welcome, Dr. Popular. Word to your mother.
Victor, word to your mother.
I'm Dr. Octave.
Sorry, I was talking to the Victor behind you. It's a live audience tonight.
Yes,
everyone.
Yes, we are officially in character for the podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome what? To Cartoon Violence Has a Podcast, episode number 2, with special guest Dr. Popular. I'm Dr. Octave.
I'm Professor Robot.
That sounded like a question.
I'm Professor Robot.
There. And we're here in Professor Robot's secret lair.
Oh my god.
Welcome to my secret lair.
Recording a podcast with Doc Pop, who we are about to play a show with.
Like in a few hours.
Tonight?
We're going to be going on stage.
We're pre-showing.
It's not tonight, is it?
It's tonight.
Almost right now.
It's very close.
I know you're the type of guy that's ready to rock on a moment's notice. You must have a bag full of tricks, like literally on your person.
Well, I happen to have an extra microphone with me. And Game Boys, galore.
Yeah. Galore is a good thing to have with you.
Galore boy.
Do you plug the galore in to your mixer on stage?
Yeah, the Game Boy galore.
Mm-hmm. Does that have a Gamera attachment? The Game Boy Gamera?
Yeah, get some puppets on stage. We can have a Game Milan band.
Oh.
Javanese or Balinese?
And we thought I was out of funny.
Ha ha, it's coming back. Did you just drink funny juice? Is that what those bubbles are?
He made me a bubble.
The bubbles make you lightheaded and that makes you funny.
So for for
bubbles.
For those people that
this podcast is brought to you by Bubbles.
The clown.
Go to bubbles.com and enter the code Cartoon Violence Has a Podcast. And it will probably be rejected.
So every podcast has one of those coupons now. You know, like go to the thing. And I actually was listening to a podcast the other day, Snap Judgment. And they're like, hey, aren't you annoyed at hearing these things where they're like, and go to this website and enter this thing? We are too. And that's why there's this brand new app where you don't have to do that anymore. And to sign up for this brand new app, go to brandnewapp.com/snapjudgment. I was like, whoa. That is the weirdest thing.
Hey, don't you hate it when we do exactly this?
Yeah.
Well, it's not like podcasts are super lucrative.
Yeah.
You know?
They got to make their money.
Bubbles.com doesn't pay us anything for that promo.
No. That's a freebie, Bubbles.
There you go, Bubbles.com.
So,
our debt is paid.
By the time people hear this podcast, unless they have a time machine, they won't be able to see our show tonight. So what are they going to have missed in the future tonight?
I think Cartoon Violence is playing.
Yeah.
And Dr. Popular. There's other bands playing. What
Robo,
you mean?
Robo Beat 'em Up.
Robo Beat 'em Up.
Continuum
Kingdom, which I have the hardest time saying. I keep pronouncing the two U's.
Continuum.
Uh-huh.
Kingdom.
Continuum. Very good pronunciation.
So, well, as I understand, it's going to be a chiptune-centric showcase tonight. Although I don't know if that's really true. Like I know that you guys are Casios, and are you rocking the chiptunes tonight?
We're only rocking chiptunes.
Really?
Yeah.
Tonight?
I'm the only guitarist that's playing tonight.
I'm like, the only keyboardist.
I'm like, I kind of feel old and outdated now because like, I'm like playing a guitar, and nobody really plays guitar anymore. It kind of must be like what Leonard Skinner was to me when I was a kid. Like I feel kind of Leonard Skinner, you know. Like who's this old fuck on guitar?
Well, yeah, guitars are out of date. Everybody's got a Game Boy now.
Well, at least I have a mask. Like,
yeah,
you know,
to hide your face from the shame.
Yeah.
Having
nobody
to play
knows,
a real instrument on stage in 2015.
That I had to practice.
But yeah, we were saying we've got STDD, which is Spinal Tap Drummer Disorder. We have played with or practiced to play with 8 drummers now. And they, you know, some of them can play a show, but then they stop playing shows with us, or they can't play 5 shows in a row, or they say yes and then say no. So we just replace the drummer with a Game Boy, and bada bing, bada boom.
That sounds much, much more efficient.
It's been great, but now we're signed up to do this show that's going to be the Guinness World Record attempt at the longest multi-artist concert, and we've had 2 drummers say yes and then no, and it's 5 days until the show, and... who knows what we're going to do? Well, we might have to wing something.
We'll just make a drummer out of clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a golem drummer.
Pour holy water on it.
Yeah.
And then pee on it a little.
Yeah, be like, come rock Chico with us. And we'll write that on a scroll, put it in its mouth.
I don't think you pee on golems.
No, that's not how you animate them and give them chi?
Yeah, no, I think someone lied to you when they told you
that. Do you have like a chi gland that you use instead?
No.
Okay, well... In lieu of a chi gland, I'm going to keep peeing on golems. You know?
How many golems have you peed on? It's worked well
so far. Well, I made that fart golem once, but that wasn't fun to be around.
Fart golem?
Yeah.
Did you fart on the golem?
Well, yeah. I mean, you get up off the toilet, you turn around, and you animate it.
We're talking
about golems that you peed on. Yeah, well, I mean, it was sitting there, and then to come to life, it needed juice of life.
It had the juice of life, it sounded. So you peed on your
fart, and the fart came to life?
I mean, when you say it that way, it sounds weird.
I mean, it is weird.
It was a successful experiment.
I mean, is that really an experiment?
It worked.
I don't know.
But anyway, so we're trying to find a drummer.
Yeah.
Who doesn't spontaneously combust or accidentally get shot by lasers during a show.
Maybe if you quit peeing on them.
Well, you know, once they're alive...
Look, all I'm saying is if they knew how to get out of the way of lasers, this wouldn't be a problem. But...
True.
The more that they continue to get in the way of lasers, which nobody can tell a laser where it should or shouldn't go.
And that's gravity.
That's science.
Gravity can. That's it.
Yeah. But enough about us.
That's Doctor, your science corner for the week.
I'm having fun. This is good.
Doc, hey, tell us a little about yourself. Like, how long have you been Dr. Popular now? Because this is
20
this
years? No.
Is this your Christian name?
No, I'm an atheist. The term Dr. Popular, let's see here, in high school, a geography teacher called me Doc because I had messy hair back then, and he thought that I looked like a mad scientist that was going to blow up the world, and he liked picking on me during roll call because I was going through puberty and my voice would squeak, and I really just wanted to be quiet and not the center of attention, and he wanted to give me the center of attention. So anyway, he called me Doc, and then I started doing a radio show locally in the small town of Tennessee, and I had this persona of Dr. Stupid, and kind of did that. But it didn't really stick as a name until I moved to St. Louis. It turns out that there's a lot of Brians in St. Louis, so I started going by Doc, because there weren't many people who went by Doc in St. Louis. And so it's been that name, say, 21 years? When I was 21. So, 15 years. 15 years.
So when did the Doc get popular?
Oh, well, I mean, I was working in a Barnes & Noble, my friend Andy, who just visited us, we saw this girl reading some Vonnegut books in the corner, and I was like, I'm gonna go talk to her. So I walked up to her, I guess, like, to kind of flirt with her, and I just kind of stood there, and I cleared my throat. And then I walked back to him, like, all proud. And I was like, that's why they call me Dr. Popular. It was a total sarcastic name, and that's gotten lost somewhere in translation.
But now it's like, now you are a doctor.
Yeah, no, for the record, I'm not actually a doctor or popular. So if you have any medical emergencies or need something tweeted,
you seem
not
popular.
The guy.
You seem like a popular guy to me.
People like you.
Yeah, people.
Those that know you like you.
There's a certain popularity.
Those that don't, people don't want to know you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we put this show that we're doing tonight on Fun Cheap SF, they replied to us and they're like, "Hey, we love Dr. Popular. Can we promote this show more for you?"
We actually got in a time machine last night and we recorded episode 3 of this podcast. With Bobby Joey Bola and the Children McNuggets. And when we mentioned that we were going to go forward in time and record the episode 2 with you, Corbett was like, oh, I love Dr. Popular. His street art is great.
Oh, fun.
So, you know, you're popular at least among some people we know.
Yeah, I do art.
Yeah, you have your tentacles in a lot of anime girls, so to speak.
So to kind of help you guys out, you were trying to get me to do an intro of myself or whatever, like
you don't have to.
No, I mean I don't mean to revel in awkwardness or whatever, no, and be that guy.
You're Dr. Popular.
All right, well that's it. That's all we need to know.
You make music, but you also do other things as well.
Make comic books.
One.
That's video games.
Two.
Working on a really awesome new game now. Board games. Dadaist prank art, right? Like weird experiences in the street.
So talk about that a little bit. I understand there was like a swing set you put on a bike rack.
Yeah, so I'm working on the swing set right now. I did one last year as a test. Basically, my problem with urban design, I mean, there's all sorts of urban design. It's not easy. But in San Francisco, sometimes we just do one thing, and it's all these resources that go to this one thing when maybe you could have gotten more for everyone out of it. For example, a bike rack. I love bike racks. I'm not complaining about bike racks, but they are just bike racks. They're not cool looking, they're not art, they weren't like commissioned by someone to make and like be something pleasing for your neighborhood. They're not a place to congregate or sit, there's not like a waterfront, like they're just a place to lean your bike, and that's useful. But what I decided to do was create these little seats. They're sort of swings, but they don't swing very much, there's not much fulcrum to them, and they're meant to be installed through the bike racks. I kind of noticed that all the bike racks were evenly spaced and happen to have holes conveniently drilled through them right at the top, like just like please build something here. And I was like trying to figure out, like, my first thought was I'm gonna make a little art desk for myself and like get it, build it so it hooks onto the rings and goes through the little holes to keep it kind of like straight, and just sit there during the day and like have a daytime office on Market Street outdoors, and that would be super fun. But the swing thing was a lot easier to do, and we could use more, you know, seats and stuff around here. Like, I guess there's an intentional kind of movement internally, like in the cities, they try not to provide places for people to congregate too much. Like,
you don't want those kids loitering around causing a ruckus.
Well, or anywhere a person can lay down to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, I think they'd be pleased to know that these swings are very hard to sleep on, you know, and not super comfortable. They're nice for like 10 minutes.
Well, you know, that's important in America. Yeah.
So I don't know, like I occasionally envision something that I'd like to see, and then I try to figure out how to do it cheaply. The project I did before this, you see Frank Chu and he makes you really happy, like this eccentric with this like crazy sign about like asteroids and JFK and 12 galaxies. And I thought, like, God, people see that and they kind of cheer up. I want to be like the nut on a street that people see and they laugh at. So I made a comic book called God Hates Dinosaurs, which is like totally this like farcical twist on like the religious comics that Chick Tracted or Chick
Jack Tracks Chick. From
yeah.
Jack
yeah.
Chick.
And
say that know, five times fast. Yeah.
It's totally ridiculous. It's about like just like what really happened to the dinosaurs, and it involves superheroes and robots and stuff like that. And yeah, I walk around town kind of serious looking with this sign that says God hates dinosaurs, and again the whole purpose was just like people see me and they kind of laugh, even if they don't know I'm joking. They still like it made their day for or their morning or whatever.
And occasionally you get somebody who like plays along with the joke and plays a fake antagonist
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, I got counter protested. God loves dinosaurs. And it was really fun because we got to be in character kind of making fun of each other, and people just build up and kind of watch. I you guys bumped into me on the street. I'm trying to remember if you saw the counter protester or
we didn't see a counter protest. We all took turns getting photos of us holding the signs.
That happens.
Yeah, it was pretty good times. And yeah, there were a few people that showed up, and like some people, it's interesting to see like people being shy about taking anything for free, like no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Like people like feel like kind of like at first, like they don't want to interact or like.
Well, I can't blame them. That's me.
Yeah.
Like I hate like, you know, nut jobs handing stuff out in free, you know, like on the streets or whatever.
But you kind of coerced people over and you're like, hey, come on. Like, it's okay. Yeah. It's like trying to get a squirrel to take like an acorn out of your hand.
And then you kill the squirrel.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly.
It. You eat the delicious squirrel meat inside of it.
Yeah. Which has been recently stuffed with acorn. Bonus.
There you go.
So, speaking of squirrels, you have a video game history with squirrels.
Yeah, you.
We sort of share some of that history.
Yeah.
We occupied the same office at different times.
Yeah, yeah. So, I worked on a video game called Squirrel Wars. Squirrel Wars, just to make sure I'm emphasizing that right. And it's a real-time strategy game for furries. Probably one of the first real-time strategy games specifically for furries. And it's just cute hand-drawn art on like watercolors and acrylics and stuff. And you are like a red squirrel army, and you're fighting against the gray squirrel army, and you're just fighting for resources. And
why can't they just have a yiff party and get it over with?
Yeah, yiffing it up.
Just yiff and get it over with.
Can you yiff in the game?
No, you can't yiff. It's not actually for furries. I would hate to say that it's for furries.
Would furries enjoy it?
I would hope so.
You wouldn't discriminate against furries, but you feel that even people that aren't furries can find something cool about the game. You know.
Yes, I hope that they could find something in there. We could entice comic fans by giving one of them an eye patch, and he could be Nick Furry.
That would work. Which one? Like the 70s? Like.
Yes, 50s, like the Nick Fury. I can't get into this.
You don't feel the Samuel L. Jackson Fury?
I'm just not feeling it. It's such a weird thing. Like, hey,
times change. You know, you got to get modern with the kids. The kids love the modern stuff.
I love Samuel L. Jackson as the villain in Unbreakable. Loved Unbreakable.
Yeah, that is M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's possibly best movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, best. It's I mean, more rewatchable.
Avatar film.
It's Sixth Sense is good, but yeah, I think Unbreakable is a better rewatch.
I love like superhero films that aren't about like the traditional superhero thing, like all the other shit. Like you find out you have powers, then what? And Unbreakable has such a cool twist on it. Like this villain who knows who he is, and he needs to go out and like find this other person and help them become a superhero so they can both like fill their roles or whatever. I thought that was so cool.
Helping the Avengers.
Nick Fury?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It works for me. Who would you rather have? David Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
Again, reprise his role as Nick Fury.
Oh, who's that? He's a very handsome guy. He was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
George Clooney?
Yeah, George Clooney would make a great Nick Fury.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, me and my friends talk about Black Fury and White Fury all the time. And the differences between them.
Yeah.
It's like old white fury. Like when you say it like that, you know,
it kind of
sounds like he's like some character from the South.
Nick Fury's like, just always got to have this like coolness to him or whatever. And I mean like the new Nick Fury, like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that. He just still feels like Pulp Fiction-y or something. He feels like he's still doing the same character rather than playing the part of this guy in charge of this operation.
Well, I think the thing that, what they did is like, the original Nick Fury was based off, like, James Dean, apparently, because he was, like, the coolest, like, actor around. He was, like, the epitome of cool. And when they made the Ultimate Nick Fury for the Ultimate Marvel Comics series, they were like, well, who's the modern equivalent of James Dean? And they're like, Samuel L. Jackson. So that's why they modeled the new Nick Fury off of Samuel L. Jackson. And then, you know, when they started doing the films, they needed to, like, have an experience. They're like, well, Samuel L. Jackson's around, and he's probably, like, young enough that he'll actually be able to do all these films for as long as we need him to do them.
Isn't he, like, 65 now?
Is he?
He's not young.
He's, like, not that. I don't know.
That's the other thing. When I see this Nick Fury guy, I feel like they're really trying hard. It's like when Woody Allen keeps rolling himself out, like, in the movies as, like, as if he's a young guy, which he doesn't do anymore. But it just seems like they're on the verge of like, really, this guy's a special agent who's going to kick ass. That's my take on it, because he feels pretty old now.
Nick Fury was
he's 66 years old.
Yep.
66. Damn. He's still going strong.
Yep.
I will not be in that health when I am.
Start your planning now. Eat healthy.
You too.
Yeah.
Use a lot of bronzer.
You can live as long as Samuel L. Jackson.
In 30 years, maybe you could be the coolest actor around in Hollywood.
I want to be the next Nick Fury. I'm totally down with that. Nick Fury is like one of my favorite comic book characters ever. Man.
Doc Pop, do you have a favorite comic book character?
Well, I mean, I see all those Akiras over there. I'd say maybe someone out of like Kaneda or something, although he doesn't get reused too often. Gosh, I love all the X titles. as far as the Marvel world goes. I just hated DC and Avengers and Fantastic Four growing up. And we were talking earlier about how like they're sort of phasing out X-Men and Fantastic Four. And so like right now, all the I'm actually really digging these movies right now. They are kind of making me like, especially Tony Stark right now is pretty cool in the movies.
Yeah.
Still can't say I'd get him to them. Maybe Grindel. Yeah, Grindel's definitely a comic character that I could just, like Hunter Rose Grindel. Like that's I could just not get enough of that. Every time he does another like Grindel versus Batman, Grindel versus the Rainbow Bright. I don't know.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
It was way more violent than I expected.
Grindel versus the Grimace. Almost was as good. Really yeah. fun, but too corporate.
Have you guys ever read Archie versus the Punisher?
No.
It's an actual comic. Archie and the Punisher did a crossover. I think I have it somewhere. Like, I'll have to look it up.
The thing about Archie right now is all their things are actual. Like Archie is actually dead right now. Like, that wasn't just a joke, right? Like, Archie died like 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's like
a funeral and everything.
Yeah, but it wasn't everybody like the cried. Superman death, right?
But it was like Archie in the future, right? It was
no, like Archie is dead right now. Like, there is an undead Archie.
That comic was freaking rad.
Yeah.
Now they're doing a Sabrina the Teenage Witch one that's like, she's the Bride of Cthulhu.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that.
So like, none of the Archie comics are like, oh, let's just imagine this whimsical thing. They're like, no, like, Archie is actually a zombie right now. Like, that's not a one-time issue. That's the storyline. That's how I understand it. Yeah.
So, like, if you read the like, regular Archie Digest now?
Yeah, I mean, apparently, like, there's no Archie. That's just what I've been told. Like, Leaf is telling me that's, like, one of the coolest things no one's talking about in comics right now. Is, like, the Archie stuff.
Apparently, afterlife with Archie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, he's been dead for, like, a couple years. Like, 2013. No appearances. Oh, really? Just this
zombie year? Apocalypse begins in Riverdale.
Anyway. Hey, how about you guys? What are your favorite? We've heard yours, Nick Fury.
Nick Fury is one of my favorites. I think I love The Watcher.
Yeah.
I love any, because The Watcher was the guy that like did all the what if stuff, and I love all the parallel universe things that in comic books, all the what ifs and all the Elseworlds from DC, like Superman, Red Son.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, well, I think the one that I remember the most is the What If Wolverine Became King of the Vampires. It was like one I read when I was a kid.
Actually, it's a good premise. Wolverine. He wouldn't die if he got bitten. Actually, yeah. What if Wolverine got bitten by a zombie? That's what I want to know. Would his body cure it?
Well, you know, in the Marvel Zombies things, he becomes a zombie. And like him and a bunch of other zombies eat Galactus and get Galactus's powers.
Yeah.
It's got to be a lot of calories.
Yeah. Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. Doc doesn't like comics.
Dr. I love Octave. Comics.
Dr. Octave doesn't
like comics.
You know, there's a couple I've liked. I don't really have the mental patience for a lot of like graphic novel style storytelling. I like more comic strip style storytelling. If it's three or four panels, or even like a Sunday strip.
Like Garfield and it. Family Circus.
Family Circus is my perfect comic because it's just one panel and it's always touching.
Like Far Side.
No, I used to. I actually got into Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Uh huh. Yeah.
A little bit of Squee.
Uh-huh.
I inherited comics from a kid down the street when I was a kid, but you know, it was almost more fun to like alphabetize them in the box and make sure they were all in sleeves than actually read them.
Mm-hmm. There must have been Avengers comics then.
No, I mean, it was random stuff. Very few of them were characters I recognized even. There might have been a Silver Surfer in there. I remember there was Battlestar Galactica. You know, in terms of when I think comics I like, I think of like Outland and Bloom County.
The Boondocks.
I never really read Boondocks. But, you know, Calvin and Hobbes is a classic.
Have you seen the documentary, Stripped?
No.
About the creator of Calvin and Hobbes.
No.
A very reclusive dude, as you guys probably know.
And yeah, apparently I tried watching it, but it was just like, it felt so self-serving from the narrative standpoint. Like, I just couldn't get over the fact that this guy was talking about more about the impact that Calvin and Hobbes had on him than, like, the impact that it had on everybody else. And I was just like, I couldn't get into it because it was like, I felt like the guy was just talking about himself more than anything. I think that was the one. I don't know. There's probably more than one documentary out there about Calvin and Hobbes.
But yeah, he's pretty reclusive. I mean, once he stopped doing Calvin and Hobbes, he's just like, okay, I'm done.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I just really want to know what it must have been like to have been like the hottest thing since like Gary Larson, or maybe even hotter than Gary Larson at the time.
No one is hotter than Gary Larson.
And to not like care about copyrights on, you know, he was like notorious for not wanting to trademark like his characters, which is why they got pirated so much with the Calvin peeing on things.
Mm-hmm. Making golems come to life.
Yeah, he was just like, I do not want my shit to be turned into toys, so like I'm not gonna allow anybody to copyright it so it can't be sold or whatever. And so just the whole like
very Fugazi of him.
Yeah. It was really reclusive. Anyway, it sounds neat, but I've never liked his comics. I think they're wonderful for you. They're not my thing.
Your choices are lame, and you make bad decisions.
Well, the problem
that's what he's saying to you.
The problem with like Sunday funnies or strip comics is the same problem I have with web comics, which is they just don't flow very well. I really like to, when I watch TV, when I watch Game of Thrones or whatever, I wait till the season's done. I watch it all in one, you know, sitting. I love graphic novels, and when you're trying to read like monthly comics, it's a little less fun. Like right when you get into it, it's over. And then like every time someone from a web comic tries to turn their web comic into a graphic novel, it just feels like panel, panel, punchline, rather than like something that builds up. There is a narrative, but they obviously needed to get their joke out of the way at the bottom of each page, and you just feel it.
Christine, yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
Christine, what's your favorite comic book?
No.
You don't want to talk?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't want to? Who's your favorite superhero? Mm. You know.
What's your favorite anything?
What are you
Christine
reading?
Really likes Vulcans. Christine's my wife, by the way. She's sitting here beside us, being quiet. She loves Vulcans. She hates dragons. And doesn't really have any strong opinions about Tolkien or any of that stuff, really, right?
No.
No? Right? So she's agreeing with me, I think. She says no.
So the last two times I've seen you live, Christine's been on stage with you, mm-hmm. being slightly more outgoing than she is now.
You can't shut her up on stage.
She's like yelling at the crowd, like spitting on people, throwing beer bottles.
Yeah. She's peeing on them. You're a golem!
Yeah. Lighting shit on fire. Crapping on the stage. She's like a modern G.G. Allen.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Really... That's what I think when I look at you. Mm-hmm. So what kind of crazy antics can we expect on stage tonight?
We're waiting for Christine here. I don't know about crazy antics. Let's see here. I'm going to play a song on my Game Boy Advance, and then I'm going to play a song on my Game Boy, and then I'm going to play another song on my GBA. We have a song that we are going to teach the crowd called Please Do Not Give That to Me. It's a song...
I've heard this song.
You're familiar
before.
With the song.
It's stupid.
I've seen the sheet music.
Stupid.
The thing that you're trying to give to me. I don't want it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Basically, we sort of think it would be nice for the internet to have a song collectively to send to anyone anytime they've had enough of whatever they're trying to be given. We wrote this little song called Please Do Not Give That to Me, which is intended to be sung by a choir. And I'm actually like looking into a choir in London. To perform it. But
a choir
tonight,
what? What are you looking to acquire?
A choir of little boys are going to sing the song.
So you're looking to acquire a choir?
Acquire, yes.
You're looking to acquire little boys?
Yes. Yeah, like singing.
Singing.
High, yeah.
Like, oh, mama. Like that.
Little, give me that. Yeah.
Little, give me that. Could you make it a Gregorian chant?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes. You know, maybe we could do this in every style. Maybe.
Yeah, like do a country version.
Whole album.
Don't give me that. Like a whole album of 15 seconds.
I don't
second
want
songs.
That.
I think it's stupid.
And I don't like it.
Don't give me that.
I don't want that. I had it last week.
Give me that. That's my show tunes version.
Yeah.
Right there. Pow. Oh, I just hit the mic.
Oh, God, you ruined the podcast again.
The podcast.
And you didn't even have to use your lasers this time.
So here's... Lasers don't ruin anything.
Lasers don't kill people.
Things
robots
ruin lasers.
Kill people.
That's the way I look at it. If something, it's things that get in the way of your laser ruin your laser beam. That's all I'm saying.
That's
but look,
literally all
more
you're
to
saying.
The point. Here's what I'm curious about: is there going to be more yo-yo antics tonight? Because the last show I went to, there were yo-yo antics on stage.
How long is our set?
Like 30, 45 minutes.
And probably not. So 45 minutes is what we're at now. And I was like, if it's longer, maybe I'll throw in a yo-yo thing. I get yo-yo during one of the songs, but like I won't do the 5-minute yo-yo song.
Not the 5-minute yo-yo song.
Yeah, yeah. Just because we're at 45 minutes right now. So like if we needed to cut down to 30 or 35, then I'd rather than adding this song, which isn't currently in the set, I'd have to struggle. So yeah, so maybe not the yo-yoing tonight.
So that concert that you've all missed when you're listening to this podcast will not have had a yo-yo.
Might have had a yo-yo. I mean, I have a yo-yo with me. I'll be yo-yoing all before and after the show.
Could you yo-yo during our performance?
Maybe if I don't
bring you up as our guest yo-yoist.
If I don't get to yo-yo during my set, like if just time doesn't allow for it, I'd be glad to yo-yo.
Like I'm trying to
set.
Think, which of our songs is like 5 minutes long that we're doing tonight?
I don't need 5 minutes. It's just that like a 1 minute, you know, section of my show, it just seems weird.
You know, we're gonna have a guest drummer for the last song, so maybe just like go balls out and have like yo-yo stuff going.
A guest yo-yo for our finale.
Can we do like I do a guitar solo in the last song, so maybe we can do like back to back guitar yo-yo solos, like 80s style.
Yeah.
Like on the stage.
Or we could do like a call and response thing. I do my thing.
Like trade fours for a while.
Yes.
You know, trade four. It's
I don't know.
It's like drummer takes four beats. Somebody takes a solo for four. You trade fours back and
forth. Okay. All right. Sure.
I
was thinking more like dueling banjo kind of thing.
It is. Well,
yeah, that's a form. That's
a
back
form
and forth.
Of trading fours.
That's not trading fours. That was okay. Maybe.
Dun, 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 dun.
One, two.
That's not
three, four.
Dun, 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 oh. Dun, 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 dun. I guess.
One, two. Three, four. You can trade four beats or you can trade four measures depending on how long you want to stretch out your cycle. But yeah,
as long
a lot
as
of jazz.
Are
is
traded.
Just, they sugar, trade who's taking the solo.
You can trade sugar for coffee beans.
Yeah, you can trade wood for sheep.
Yeah, I think that, and then you build roads to your cities.
Are we still talking about music or Farmville?
We're talking about Settlers of Catan.
Yeah,
thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have a sheep port?
No.
Oh, you should look into that. They're fun.
Sheep ports are fun.
Yeah.
According to Dr. Octave, not Dr.
Yes.
Octave. Now, recently collaborated on something.
A music video we made. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Music video.
Yeah, we know. We made a music video. We're in the process of making it. It's in post-production now.
Post-production.
That Gabe will be here tonight. Gabe is the guy that, Naukun, I guess is his,
Naukun.
I think that's pronounced Naukun.
Naukun. No-ukon.
If it was Japanese, it would be no-ukon.
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 Three syllables.
All right. Well,
but if it was Swedish, it'd be Herndy Sherndy.
Niki Verdigurden.
Niki
Verdigurden.
Bork, bork.
Bjork.
Oh, is Bjork here?
Bjork is here. Hello.
Can we speak to Bjork?
Yes.
So we're working on a music video for Mobius Striptease that you wrote and directed.
Yeah.
Gabe is the...
I will give him co-production credit because he's doing a lot with like the post-production stuff. So like right now he's taking all the green screen stuff that we shot and all the outdoor shots and like GoPro things and making it into this very specific storyboard that I kind of planned everything around. Yeah, I don't know. It was a cool project. It took a long time. I had never storyboarded anything. I mostly just scripted it out and kind of knew the shots in my head. But this was like so intricate, I had to really sit down and like draw everything out so everyone would know like kind of what I was going for visually.
Well, I like that I went to a yard sale and found storyboard sheets. Like it was like this old film guy who was like getting rid of just this shit that you like no one uses anymore. He had storyboard sheets. I'm like, I'm going to do something with this. And then like later that afternoon you came over and you're like, I have to storyboard this. And I'm like, here. And I handed you.
Yeah. I was like, where did you get this?
Yeah.
That was really cool. That actually helped a lot.
That was fun, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it seemed like we were having fun shooting it. I don't know. Did you have a good time? Was I a horrible director? Did I blow it? You can be honest. Don't be afraid.
You were wonderful.
Thank you. That's all I care about. But no, that was actually, it was a lot of it was a lot of fun. Like the green screen stuff was super fun to shoot.
You got to act? You played the part of a ghost.
I did, and I rapped about being a ghost.
All my ghosts and my wizards and my wizards and my ghosts, throw your hands up.
Throw your motherfucking hands in there. Yeah. If you don't give a fuck.
Like, I don't give a fuck, then go and eat a Pac-Man somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a good laugh.
Yeah, are you still sampling that?
I have to get the video. I have a MacBook Air. I have a MacBook Air with like no spare memory on it at all. And so like he's like, here's a video, and it's like 4 gigs, and I'm like, I can't even open that to find the clip and edit it.
Yeah,
but I would like to make a little Vine out of that or something. Jeez.
Do whatever you want with it. I gift you that song. If you make $1 million, give me some of it.
Nope.
Not all of it. Mm-mm. Like, even if it's just $5.
Nope. I appreciate the gift, though.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Well, I blew that. Man. But no, what's the... So, what is the, like... Do you... What's the concept of the video? Do you want to talk?
Well, the song is called Mobius Striptease, and it's just about someone having trouble, like, dating or whatever, and, like kind of flip-flopping and not being able to understand their partner or whatever. The music video is sort of Tron. I find a Game Boy on the ground. I pick it up. I start playing it, and it zaps me in. And then someone else comes by, Ick, who we met earlier.
Yeah, Ick, who was here earlier.
So he comes by, he picks up the Game Boy that was on the street that I was playing, and now I'm in it, and he's, like, manipulating me and making me, like, have to fight all these stupid things. In the video game, and it's just like cheesy. It's the fun thing for us was we just decided to be super cheesy with all the props and the post production. Hopefully, we'll kind of feel that way too, like not super polished. We just shot in a day, 2 days, I guess. In the end, I escape I ruined it, but
well, who knows what happens after you escape? You could be murdered. Yeah, still.
I escape onto an axe.
Yeah.
Out of the frying pan into the fire, huh?
You know, it goes places. It goes places. It gives you a lot to think about. You know, it's really about man's struggle with himself and duality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was I trapped in the video game, or was everyone else trapped out of the video game? Really? Were they stuck in the real world?
Yeah. There you go. I mean, that's pretty much it.
They're outside the asylum. That was my vision.
I'm so visionable.
Yeah. So who are some of your favorite music video directors? Do you consider yourself a connoisseur of that art?
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like a dying art or whatever. So, I mean, like, in my opinion, everybody I like would have been... Like, I'm not one of those guys that, like, the best music was made in the 90s, although I certainly still listen to all my favorite 90s bands. But, like, Spike Jonze, Chris Cunningham, Michel Gondry, like, there's no one that I feel is, like, making as big a name for themselves in that art form now as they were then. Like, there might be people doing stuff, but it's more like they're stepping stones so that they can launch their web series or so that they can, you know, get a movie deal. I mean, a Homie with District 9, that started off as like a music video, I think. And you can still tell he's pretty music video inspired, like working with Diane Ford.
Yeah, well, hasn't he done videos for them?
Might like have done videos.
Yeah, I
for
think
them.
He's directed videos for D'Antwoord, which is why they were all.
I haven't seen
on Chappie
yet, but I heard Chappie is just basically a music video for D'Antwoord. That's probably an exaggeration.
That's an exaggeration. It's more like a really kind of dark coming of age movie. Like, it's a little saccharine at parts, honestly. But it's like, yeah, D'Antwoord are like these gangsters raising a baby robot. And that's more what it's about. There's only one robot fight scene. There's only one big fight scene, really. But it's a the ending's really interesting, and you really don't see it coming. And I enjoyed it. It was a lot better than Elysium, but not as good as District 9.
Okay.
There you go. That's my short review. So how long have you been doing the, like, sort of chiptunes music? And when did you get into sort of this process? Like, were you a musician before, before all this crazy synth and, like, Game Boy glitch stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing kind of, like, Nirvana-inspired punk. So, like, post-Nirvana indie rock. and really loved playing music and throwing shows. And when everyone was complaining there wasn't like something happening, we were the people like that were actually putting together shows in our small town and you know, getting bands that we really liked to come and, you know, getting a chance to open for like really awesome bands. And this is back hour south of Nashville, but we played most of our shows in Nashville. When I left Nashville, I kind of traveled around a lot because of yo-yoing, because of like owning yo-yo stores and opening yo-yo stores. And I just had a hard time each town I was in being able to, you know, find a band, you know, because like they all grew up together and like, you know, since high school or whatever, knew each other. And then here's this outsider that's been in town for a month or two. It just became easier for me to start kind of doing that like Beck inspired, like I'm just going to do it all like at home. I was using like karaoke machines and ping ponging between cassette tapes, you know, so like had a Casio SK1 and like I'd play guitar on top of the little drums, and then I'd come back and double the guitar, and then I would do my vocals and just like bouncing from tape to tape. And never really could afford laptops or computers. I was pretty late to the game there. When I finally got into, so I was mostly working with just like cassette tapes and four tracks, and I was really into circuit bending, because that was like the next step. I was like, well, I got a bunch of Casios, let me start deconstructing them and making weird sounds. And then I got into electronic music through the MTV Music Generator for the PlayStation 1, which was an awesome music-making program. But like, you couldn't like save stuff exactly. So like, I had to leave, like if I was working on a song for like a week, I'd have to like leave my PlayStation on for a week and hope the power didn't go out or anything. And end of the week, I'd like burn it onto a CD, like an, you know, just straight to a CD ripper, not like a computer, which would have been much more sense. And started hearing about chiptune after that, and kind of went that way. So I actually kind of started my first electronic experience, electronic music, was with like a Sony PlayStation, which I think qualifies as chiptune.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you heard of Omadaka?
No.
He's a Japanese chiptunes artist, and he uses like a PlayStation Portable,
cool,
with like another version of Beat Generator on it, and syncs it up with like a 3DS.
Yeah.
And like some video. He has a video of a woman singing.
Yeah.
So he wears like a Oni outfit or like a Kabuki outfit with a Kabuki mask, and he'll like put a mic in front of the video of the woman singing and stand behind it and dance around and pretend like,
yeah,
you know, he's the woman singing. But he also busts out a Chaos Later. But his stuff is really, really good. But I say all this to just affirm that, yeah, using the MTV Beat Generator, I will totally approve. Because we deem what is and isn't chiptune here
on Cartoon. We are the arbiters.
Yes.
People post to our Facebook page all the time asking, is this chiptune?
And we're like, no, now it must die. And then we kill them and their families.
You know, even though I was familiar with chiptune, it still seemed like a really impossible thing to understand and to get into. Where circuit bending was very much like anti-theory, like nobody knew anything. You just take something apart and you solder shit. And it seemed like chiptune, when I first heard about it, was full of people who were like writing their own software. That's what it felt like. And it wasn't really until I got my iPhone. So way, way late. I had the first generation iPhone, and Nanoloop came out for iPhone. And I was like, oh, I heard about that. That's that chiptune thing. I can finally learn it. So I learned Nanoloop for iPhone because it was portable and easy and 99 cents. And you could email songs to people and save them super easy. And then I finally broke down and got like a Nanoloop for Game Boy Advance, and then finally got Nanoloop for Game Boy. So like my albums are actually Beeps and Smudges was all iPhone with Nanoloop. Destroy All Presets, my most recent album, was all Game Boy Advance. And the next album is going to be all Game Boy. I'm like doing this like trilogy. iPhone, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy.
So now, what was Drown Radio?
Drown Radio was my old band. I had the name Dr. Popular, but like I didn't I was doing serious music, and I didn't see doing like serious music under the name Dr. Popular. I rapped for a while. I was a nerdcore rapper, and I felt like, okay, I could do this as Dr. Popular. Like, this is kind of funny. Like, you'd see that on a marquee somewhere and you'd be like, oh, it's a funny rapper. But like, you know, it just doesn't sound like a serious band. And so like Drown Radio is like named after some pseudoscience stuff. I'm really into bad science or whatever, like people who make up crazy shit and get like followings. And Drown Radio was created by Lisa Drown, and it was this bullshit theory that you could like play certain frequencies to cheer up certain maladies. So like if someone was homesick, you could play this frequency. If they had like cancer, you could play this frequency. And you know, obviously like not totally innocent either. It's not something I think is cool. You know, the people were like seeking this alternative treatment, but there was this whole like audio thing with it. And you know, Drone Radio is no longer practiced. So I feel like it's kind of safe for me to kind of embrace or whatever. It's not like something going on now that's really not good. It's like, oh, there was this thing they used to do and it sounds kind of cool. So it was a big influence for me. So
how did you break into the San Francisco chip scene? Like, what was your doorway? How did you meet the people and like start doing these shows?
Gosh, I don't know how. I mean, I probably just started going to the shows and then met, you know, Crashy, who has been doing these shows for a while.
Crash Faster. Now, was this just Morgan?
Yeah.
When you started out?
Well, he was going by the name Crash Faster, but he was just...
the one-man Crash Faster.
An individual with, like, a Game Boy, and he was definitely willing to share, but even then, it sort of felt like he understood where to get, like, these carts and how to use MIDI with them and all that, even when I was going to these things, I was still, like, making music on my iPhone. So it really took a while before I finally started making chip, but I was, like, around the scene in San Francisco because... I just like minimal lo-fi electronics. And, you know, there was a lot of that back then. It sounds a little different now. Like we have more fuller sounds or whatever. But we always had a very different sound than like the East Coast chip scene. And we still do. So anyway, I was just like going to the shows and like just digging it before I was playing the music.
So was Me Geek Pretty one day sort of a hybrid transition between Drown Radio and Dr. Popular as an identity?
Well, I would still be using the name Drown Radio now if people didn't, like, people were still just booking me as Dr. Popular. You know, if I made beats for, like, MC Frontalot, like, it was my beats, and I really liked my beats, and he would bill it as Dr. Popular instead of Drown Radio, and I was like, fuck, like, I just can't get people to use this term. Like, it's just not making sense, so I just started using it. I always held on to it because I always kind of wanted the idea that I could have a personality that did funny, like, rap, and then a personality that did serious stuff, and another personality that did, like, ambient drone or something, rather than having just one name for, like, because not everybody who likes the rap is going to like ambient drone. Like, I know that.
Yeah.
So I'll just make it easy. I'll just call them different things. But I just dropped the term Drown Radio just because nobody was using it. I was getting booked at shows as Dr. Popular, and it makes sense. Like, you know, Drown Radio is playing tonight. Who the fuck's Drown Radio? Like, Doc's playing. Oh, okay. I mean, I guess
yeah. Go with the brand that the crowd responds to.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Doc, mm-hmm. One of the things we do on this show is do a top five list of favorite songs on a theme, and we figured we'd do top five songs about a doctor.
My list.
Do we have a jingle? Do you have a jingle?
We don't yet. I mean, that's the thing. Hey. We're kind of.
Would you want to jingle up our top fives?
Top five. It's top five. We have a top five. Do you have a top five?
Top five.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there, we got that done now. So normally there's a game that we use. So the way
why
the
wouldn't there be now?
So, well, there will be. But okay. I mean, here's the thing. So here's how the top five game works. We have a different theme each week for the top five list. And then if you have a song that somebody else has on their list...
Take a shot.
You read them 5-1.
Yeah.
But we take turns. So you'll read your fifth. I'll read my fifth.
Yeah.
Prof will read his fifth. Mm-hmm. And then you'll read your fourth, etc.
Do you have a list?
But if there's a clash...
All right. But there's a clash, you have to battle for possession of that song.
So I have the Clash's Doctor song on here. Oh.
Wait, we're not... We haven't
I thought we had spoilers. A battle because there's a clash.
No. Only when
I
you
I do
reveal,
have a clash.
An identical clash of somebody else would be required.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm ready.
It's like playing war, you know, with cards. Uh-huh. If our cards match, we gotta have a sub-game to... figure out who actually wins.
And just like war, there are no true winners.
The only way to win is to not play.
Yeah.
But we're going to play anyway, because we're human. Except for Professor Robot, who's a robot.
Thank you. Thank you for remembering that about me. I appreciate it.
You won't let me forget.
Of
course. Your lasers won't let me forget.
So here's what I want to know. Would you help us with the decision game?
Sure.
Okay, so essentially, how about we do this? You think of a number, any number you want, and the two people that are combating have to guess.
Five.
Price is Right rules. Whoever is closest without going over wins.
Four.
Oh, that's...
What?
That's really random.
No.
Let's just play a game of Cards Against Humanity.
We gotta freaking get out all a bunch of crap
here. We gotta do something no matter what.
And I think the random number, it's because it's who's closest without going over any number. So if somebody guesses 45 and I guess 50 and the number is 10,000, then 50 wins. It's simple.
Yeah, but if you guess 10,000 and the number is 50, then you went way over.
Well, you know, then you probably lose.
Okay.
You know,
all right. All right. It's an interesting randomness to shoot for.
If they both go over, that's the closest to the number. How's that?
Man, it's just as random as guessing Starburst colors.
It's just
Let's
as
do
random
it.
As guessing Starburst. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. Because you know what? Like, I don't see. All you want to do is make more work for me.
I just want it to be fun. Don't blame the work.
Well, everything is fun.
You're a robot. You should love doing work.
Toil is stupid.
All right, so we're going to do the number game for the tie breaks. Uh-huh. We're going to count down our top five Doctor songs.
Hey.
So, Dr. Popular, what's your number five?
Okay, I'm really solid favorite. On my top three.
Okay.
So I'm going to kind of fill this at the bottom here. Let's say... Doctor's Orders by Sonic Youth off of Experimental Jet Set Trash No Star. Kim Gordon singing. It's got this catchy little line to it. It's not really, you don't really feel the Doctor thing, but Doctor's in the title and it's...
There you go. That's good enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough for government work. My number five is Coconut by Harry Nilsson. I said, Doctor! Is there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor!
Let's see now. You put the lime in the coconut.
And drink it all up.
All right. Well, so far, no battles.
No battles yet.
We're doing pretty good.
The night is young.
All right. But this could be it. I have a feeling this is going to be it. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Witch Doctor.
Wait, but they're covering another Witch Doctor.
Yeah,
right?
But I like this version of it.
Technically, it predates the Chipmunks.
Yeah, but I like the Chipmunks version.
Okay, well, I think we already decided that the same song but different versions is still the same song.
Yes. I don't know. When you're talking about Alvin and the Chipmunks, that's basically a different song.
But Ross Bagdasarian, who was David Seville, who was Alvin, who was the creator of it all, originally did that song in the Chipmunk voice. So the Chipmunks doing it were just covering him doing it. It was the introduction to the concept of doing that sped up song that gave him the idea for the Chipmunks, but it predates them, and I believe he did write the song.
So you guys have to battle.
We have to battle. Let the numbering commence, Christine.
All right, I got a number.
You have a number?
All right.
Just 42, why not? It is the number.
43.
Ooh!
All right, the number was 15, so octave is close.
Oh, yeah, no. It was the answer. Thank you, Douglas Adams.
I lost my first battle. And this is the first battle I've lost. Like, I've won all the other,
Somebody had to take you down eventually, Professor.
Oh, man, it only took three shows, or two shows, I guess.
Depending on whether you're in
whether
or out of a time
in the
machine.
Future or in the past. So I guess that means I have to come up with another number five.
You do, yeah.
I'm just going to bump my number four up to my number five.
Up.
Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood.
All right.
He's the one that makes you feel all right. What?
That's on my extras list.
Yeah, it's not in my top five, but it's there if I need it.
All right.
I like to put the obvious ones in the reserves, because then if nobody says the obvious one, you didn't have to say the obvious one either.
See, here's what I was banking on this time, is that, like... There were so many obvious ones that nobody would take them all, and that they would be left for me.
Uh-huh.
That was my strategy this time.
So.
Didn't work out.
This one might be a debated one.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear. Race for the Prize by Flaming Lips. refers to two scientists who are racing, and I would like to imagine that both of those scientists have their doctorates. That's my imagination.
Yeah.
That is not confirmed in the song.
I think if you're looking at it from just you got a doctorate, then it opens up a lot of subjects.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Two scientists were racing for the good of all mankind. Both of them side by side. So determined. Yes.
Courageous and determined.
So courageous.
So courageously determined to be awesome. Yeah, my number two, or my number four, rather, was the Witch Doctor. So no news here. Professor, do you have a number four at the ready?
You know, I believe I do. Robert Palmer, Bad Case of Loving You.
Oh.
Doctor, give me the news. I gotta...
Bad Case of Loving You.
This was the first song I thought of.
There you go.
I thought of Doctor songs.
Yeah.
And it comes in at number four because I haven't thought of three other Doctor songs.
Well, we'll talk.
I have a list.
Slowly.
Oh, man. I'll just steal all your
old. That's like number eight up on
like
mine.
A chipmunk.
Oh, boy. Yeah, then we could do the chipmunk version of our show.
Let's cover the Witch Doctor right now. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you.
And
it's a golem. Pee on him.
No, not a golem. My circus sucks.
That happens every time.
On that note, is it my turn for my number three?
So is mine. So it's number three for me.
Number three.
I do not love Lil Wayne, but in researching this particular question, it turns out he has a fantastic song called Dr. Carter. So good that I think I'm going to go and listen to the rest of the album and see if maybe all the Lil Wayne that made it to the radio is not the good Lil Wayne.
That could be possible.
Dr. Carter is basically, it's not overly vocally synthesized, that weird autotune thing he does. It's got this really raw, like drum loops, like jazz samples, like organic, DJ Shadow-esque almost. It's like this lady saying, "Doctor, you've got another patient. He's got a weak flow. Can you help him out?" And he's like just totally like raps about getting into his scrubs and performing an operation to give this guy a better flow, you know. And anyway, yeah, it's really good.
Maybe I'll have to check it out too.
Yeah.
All right, so my number three is Weird Al, Like a Surgeon.
Ooh,
is that a three-way tie?
No, that's good.
Okay, yeah,
that's good.
I was gonna put that on my list
right after you heard it.
Buzz just to like put it.
Oh, no cheaty robots.
Yeah, no cheaty bots. Don't worry.
Do you have an actual number three yet, or should I talk slower?
I do have an actual number three. The Rascals, Good Lovin'. Huh. I think it's by the Rascals. I know the song. I'm thinking that the version I want is by the Rascals. But it's good. I said doctor.
Mr. MD.
Doctor. And then it's like, Good Lovin', all you got written in. That song. So that's what I think.
Rudy Clark.
That must
be the Young Rascals.
The Rascals.
1966.
Yeah, could be them.
Yeah,
that's what I believe.
Good loving. Good pick.
Good pick indeed. Now to just find more songs about doctors somewhere.
Do it. I dare you.
I'm excited about my next song.
I Doctor Dog dare you.
Oh, Doctor Dog. Ooh. That'd be a good character.
Yeah.
So number two for me. Tough to put this in order, but I'm going to say Waiting List by Dr. Octagon.
Huh.
I was just looking up Dr. Octagon.
Yeah.
Songs.
Yeah. So, again, kind of a similar premise to the Lil Wayne song, except this is a much darker turn. Like, he's not trying to help people with their flows. He's trying to perform enemas or whatever.
Fair enough.
Fun.
Yeah.
I think
produced
got a good...
by Dan the Automator, scratches by DJ Kubert. Cool. It's a classic.
Cool. My number two is probably going to be a clash, unless it's not yet thought of by the robot. It's Theme from Dr. Detroit by Devo.
No clash. But
all right.
I do have a number two.
Okay.
Dr. Dre, The Chronic. The whole album, just one, was one big song to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About a doctor.
Well, it's like a concept.
It's like an autobiography.
Yeah.
Like a full flow of doctorhood.
Yeah, I might do, and yeah, there. Done.
just sell it.
Judges?
Yeah.
Judges?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You guys let me do Race for the Prize. Why not?
I could do like any Eminem song. Because he just talks, this is every Eminem song he talks about Dr. Dre.
Did I mention I nailed the doctor?
Dr. Dre, time to operate. Come on, Dr. Dre, my songs need credibility.
So, I think it's time for number Dr. One. Popular's number one doctor song.
Waiting List by Fugazi.
Waiting Room.
Waiting Room, sorry. Waiting Room. Yes, Waiting Room
sitting
by Fugazi.
Sitting in the waiting room. Ah. That's my favorite Fugazi song.
Yeah, so, right?
Yeah. Dude, that is the best. I applaud your number one.
Thank you.
Good sir.
Thank you.
I applaud it.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Mm-hmm. I can take credit for that.
For coming up with your own list.
My number one,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Worm, They Might Be Giants, Drop the Mic.
Damn.
Can you sing that for me? I'm not familiar with that song.
Hello, I'm Dr.
Worm.
Good morning, how are you? I'm Dr. Worm. I'm interested in things. I'm not a real doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm, and I like to play the drums. I think I'm getting good, but I can handle criticism. I'll show you what I know, and you can tell me if you think I'm getting better at the drums. I'll leave the door unlocked, cause I won't hear the doorbell. Ba 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 da ba 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 da ba 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 ba. When I get into it, I can't tell if you are watching me twirling the sticks. When I give the signal, my friend Rabbi Vol will play the solo.
Boom, 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 yeah. So my number one, and I think I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but
you were Googling that whole song.
I was just making sure I had it all down. DJ Kubert, Invisible Wave Twisters. Are you familiar with this?
I'm familiar with it.
This is like a concept album you did about a dentist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so like any song off that album is my number one.
There's plenty of samples. Like
I was trying to find the name of the doctor. Song, but like yeah, there's one where he's like open wide and just like rah, 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 and it's like him scratching while the like doctor's drilling. And it's a wonderful, wonderful film that everyone should go watch.
That's valid.
Yeah, so I'm just, yeah, Wave Twisters there, out there. I couldn't find the name of the specific song that I wanted to find, but I was able to think of it. So there you go. Suck it, Internet. And with that, another episode of Cartoon Violence as a Podcast comes to an end.
Top five songs.
Top five songs is over, and it's time for us to go. But before we go, let's plug all our social media things.
Plug it.
Plug it away, Doc. Where can we find you on the internet?
At DOCPOP. At Doc Pop.
Just anywhere, really. Like on Instagram, Twitter, anywhere.
At Doc Pop.
At Doc Pop.
At DocPop.bandcamp.com.
You can find...
.org.
Do you have a website, an actual website?
DOCPOP.org. But
ripping the .org.
Yeah, ripping the .org.
Did you buy .doc poop too, just in case?
Nope.
.org.
docpop.bandcamp. That's my favorite place to share my musics. All of my albums are on there. Docpop.org is where I write my longer form crafts and art and other experiments. And then I talk about everything on Twitter all the time.
There you go. And you can find us on Twitter at Cartoon Violins for now.
We're at cartoonviolinsmusic.com, and I sometimes tweet at Doc Octave.
And I tweet constantly at Prof Robot, P-R-O-F Robot. And go to the internet and find us. I mean, you found this podcast, so I feel like you probably have this internet thing handled.
I think you got what it takes. Yeah. I believe in you.
All right, internet. Go find the things, and we will see you next time with very special guests, Bobby Joey Bola and the Children McNuggets. Hey, and don't forget, Cartoon Violence has a show May 2nd in Never San Jose forget. At Homestead Bowl. Which I guess is in Cupertino.
Cupertino for life, yo.
But it's a very special Star Wars show. We do it every year. And we've got copies of the Star Wars Christmas special record to give away.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this the day this podcast comes out, you have 24 hours to get your butt in gear and go to Cupertino, California, and go to XBAR/Homestead Lanes and see Cartoon Violence and the Koopas and Rocket Chip and Aloha Screwdriver, and maybe even more. There's going to be crazy costumes and Star Wars stuff. And we do this every year in the Bay Area and the South Bay. So check us out on May the 4th.
It's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Every year for the rest
of
your life.
It's just going to be great and fun and great. So come.
Come. See you there.
Do you have any other shows lined up?
When's your next thing?
I'm working on an album, and I'm trying to figure out how to record things.
Cool. Oh.
That's it. No new shows. I have an album.
Press record.
I have an album finished, and I'm just like, I don't fucking know how to get it out there.
Hurry up.
Weather balloon. Help me, Obi-Wan. Tie it to a weather balloon.
No, I'm not going to tie my Game Boy to... Oh,
the album. Yeah.
Metaphorically.
Let Mother Nature be your distributor.
All right.
Got it.
See you later. Thanks Bye-bye. For having a podcast Bye. With us.
We'll talk slowly and then speed it up like a chipmunk.
Oh boy!
Now then
we can do the chipmunk
voice
number.
Let's cover the witch doctor right now. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you.
And the witch doctor.
Ah, the golem, peel
him! Oh no, my thing is
gone! Stop it every time.
Top five, it's top five, we have a top five, do you have a top five?
Top five!
Yeah.